start of a brand new year, I want us to think about a brand new theme. And today and for the next few weeks, we're going to look at We Are the Church. Come on. The church gets a bad rap, but really if the church gets a bad rap, it's about people, it's not about buildings. And of course you know that, but sometimes it's easy to forget it because it's easy to blame something or some big organization or something else. But I believe as we start 2023, as the church vibe, as the people of vibe, as the church of vibe, as vibe itself, as the people of vibe, we have to remind ourselves that we are the church. We are the church of God. And for the next few weeks, we're going to look at it. And so let's pray. Let the Lord settle our hearts as we go after this thing in Jesus' name. So come on. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We ask you, Holy Spirit, speak to us mighty in your precious name. Amen. So we are the church. I mean, maybe you've heard this before. The church is not a building. It's not a place. It's not something over there or this thing or that thing. It's the people. The church is the people. And that's an incredible statement. But with that comes incredible responsibility, because if we are the church, then, oh my goodness, we've got to do something. We've got to be engaged. We've got to be a part of that. Let me tell you, that is a privilege and it's a blessing. And as we deep dive into this thing over this next few weeks, I believe the Lord is going to challenge you in ways that you've never been challenged before. Or if you have been, it's time to get challenged afresh. Amen? And he's going to reveal things that either you knew or you forgot, but boldly we're going to step into them. And we are going to become the church that God has dreamt and planned and purposed for us to be. You see, what if you've lost your point? What if you've lost your focus? And what if you've lost your edge? Sometimes we say out of the church, but really what we're saying is we as people have lost our focus. We as people have lost our edge. We say to ourselves, are you going to church on Sunday? And we get the point, and never more so do we say that in the UK or Ireland. Like, we say that all the time, you're going to church on Sunday. But really what we mean is, are we going to gather? And I know a lot of our friends around the world have changed that term from church to gather, and they've instilled into people's hearts, come on, we're not going to church, we are the church, so we come to gather as the church. Are you gathering with us on Sunday? And look, it's semantics, it's words, but words have power and words mean something. But for us today, regardless of what way we're going to say it, let's know what we truly mean. We are the church. We get the blessing and benefit of meeting on Sundays or wherever time you get to meet. And that is a blessing, that's a benefit, and we should do that. But we've got to remind ourselves that a church is not a building, it is a people. And we are the men and women and people of God. And so with that, we have some things to remind our hearts about. And so here's what I want to say as we get into 2023. We're going to say we are the church. We're going to discover this. And if you look it up in the New Testament, you would find this word, a Greek word called ekklesia. And it simply means this, the called out ones. We are the called out ones. So every time you see the word church in the New Testament, it means ecclesia, or 99% of the times. And that means called out ones. We are the called out ones. Makes no mention of a building, makes no mention of, you know, a structure or an organization. And I know the church can become all of those things, but it talks about people and it talks about being called out. And what I love about this is it's a reference to 1 Peter, where it says that we're a chosen people, a holy nation, and we've been called out, but called out for a purpose. So let's read it together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Wow. This is what he's called us out to. This is what he has brought us to. A wonderful, marvelous, glorious light. We have been called out. And we are the people of God that have been called out into his plans. In fact, Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 5, that we are the light of the world. And you say to yourself, really? And I'm saying, yes. We are the light of the world. And every single person counts, because the Lord's coming back for a glorious church. Or as the New Testament writes, a glorious bride, whether it be male or female, he's coming back for a glorious bride, one that is without spot or wrinkle, that is glorious in all her ways. And so God loves his church. God loves you. He loves me. And he wants us to be mindful of who we are, because otherwise we won't be who we're supposed to be. And we'll do all sorts of funny things, which we may think about over today and the next few weeks. And so number one, we are the church, but what does that mean? Well, let me give you a couple of quick points, and again, we'll discover more of this next week's. Point number one is this, we are more than before, because we carry the presence of God. See, to be the church is something significant. And I guess the confusion could lie if we go all the way back to the Old Testament, where the God said, build me an altar. And so then Moses and David and all these great guys, Joshua from the Old Testament, they built altars. And to encapsulate the altar, they built the holy place, they built the facility, they built the temple. And back in those days, the presence of the Lord dwelt in the temple. And the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but he didn't come inside of people. But then we get to the New Testament, and Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. And I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to break everything that was before, and I'm going to establish on everything that was before, and I'm going to build upon it. And suddenly you will no longer go to a temple in the sense of to find the presence of God. You will be the temples of God, and you will carry the presence of God. Wow, wow, wow. And so this is where we started, but this is where we're going. We are people that carry the presence of God. The sacrifice is not going to the building the temple. The sacrifice is not trying to get there every single week. That's not the point anymore. The sacrifice has been made on the cross. We carry the presence of God. And so now when we gather for very different reasons, not for the presence of God, but maybe the presence of God, but maybe in a different way, which we're going to discover, but we carry the presence of God. And so when we come together, it's like coming from little flames to a furnace. When we come together, we come because of Jesus. When we come together, we come to worship the one true God. And there's something about when you look around and you see each other, you go, okay, I'm part of something. I'm part of the family of God. I'm part of the body of Christ. And these are all key terms and key metaphors and key phrases in our pursuit of fully discovering who we are as we are the church. Amen? We carry the presence of God. We're called out to live like Jesus. This is the idea of being called out. Called out to live like Jesus. Family on mission. Because we're together, we're the family of God. But we're not just going to sit around and play board games. Maybe over this last week or two, you've been like, please get me away from family. Because you've been like spending so much time with family. It's not that you don't love them, but you've said to yourself, I need to get back to business. Because there's something inside of us that says, I like being together, but I know there's a call on me. I know there's business for me to do. And this is it. We are a family on mission. We're a family with a point. We're the church of God that's got something to do. We're not just a relic or an old building that we're worshiping or meeting in because we've done for the last 1,000 years. No. Doesn't really matter where we meet. We are the men and women of God. We are the church. And everywhere we go, we want to be the church because the church has a point. And the church is to lift up the name of Jesus and to see many people come into faith. Amen? Come on, this is why we're here. This is why when people say church is boring, you should go to yourself, well, kind of what you're saying is you're boring and the people around you are boring. So if that's the case, get a fresh vision. And this is why vision is so important. Building doesn't need a vision. People need a vision. Because without a vision, people perish. Dreams perish. Ideas perish. Hearts perish. We forget our focus. We forget what we are about. And so as we go forward, we're saying to ourselves, we are family on mission. We are the body of Christ. We've got a point and we've been called to go. And then point number two is if we are the church, what does that mean? Well, then maybe this means then from now on, we never need to go to church again. Already some people's going, yes, we never need to go to church again. Already some people's going, yes, they've been hustling me to get back to church. I've been watching online in my pajamas and I've been loving it. And now you're telling me I don't even have to watch the online. Come on, this is so good. And I'm going, no, not at all. Because what we love to do is we love to go from one extreme to the other. And that's the last thing we want to do today. We just want to remind ourselves, what are we really about? Who are we really? What's the point of gathering? But why do so many people fall for this? Well, I wrote down a few things, and you might figure this out because we live in a broken world and it's easy to go through issues. And so for some people, the reason why this could be good news or the reason why some people don't want to meet together is because they've just been hurt. They've been hurt by the church, and we've even got a hashtag for it now, Church Hurt, which again is, it's fine, and we get the heart of what that's meant by that, but it could lead us to believe that some big organization hurt us, and it was people that hurt us. It wasn't an organization. Come on. It was a person that hurt us. It was this group or that group, and maybe we need to figure out what we're going through better, and they need to be better, but really this is about people. It's always about people. For God so loved the world that he died for people. He didn't die for some big church building. I mean, we're praying for the church to advance. We're not praying for church buildings. We're praying for people to advance. Why do we want a church building? Because it gets wet in Northern Ireland. It gets cold in Northern Ireland. We need people to stay warm and dry. We need a safe place. But if we were in warmer climate, stuff the building. We're not even really interested in the building. What we're interested in is building the kingdom of God. Amen? Come on. If you're at home and you're alive, say hallelujah and maybe even type it in the chat. So the reasons why we don't, maybe we get confused. Maybe we get hurt and let down. We've all been hurt and let down. Let's be real on that. Maybe you get abused at church, and that's a horrific thing. Various different levels to that, and we've got to work that one through. Lack of understanding. Maybe it's just simple of, I don't care. Why do I not go every week? I don't care. In other words, I don't understand the reason for me being there. I don't understand the reason for gathering. We're confused on multiple different levels. It doesn't suit my lifestyle. You know, maybe the reason you don't go to church doesn't suit my lifestyle. You're bored, better things to do. I get that. I don't count, which could be one of them. But we are part of the family of God. We're on mission, and every single person counts. And I hope over this next few weeks, what we're going to discover is you can't afford not to be part of the church, i.e. the body of Christ. You can't afford not to be an active member of We Are the Church, because it's not just we are the church, it's a we, a collective we, a larger body of people. And whether we like it or not, this is what God has said. And you know what I love about the body, or you could use the words team or family, it doesn't really matter. It's just whatever gets you to the right place of thinking, is that it causes you to confront. And we think about confrontation like, I'm going to tell them what. You know, I'm going to tell them what for. But what if somebody needs to tell you what for? And I'm using aggressive language. But you know what I mean? What if someone needs to speak into your heart with love and grace, but with truth? What if you need that more than you realize? What if some of your habits are not good habits? What if some of the ways you've been living are not good? What if some of the truths that you've been believing need confronted because they're just not healthy truths? This is why we need to be a collective body. This is why we need to be a family. So there's grace, there's give, and there's take. Come on. Everyone has not made it yet. No one is perfect yet. No one has this totally cracked. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, we have been all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentiles, slave or free, we have been all given the spirit to drink. One spirit to drink. You see, the truth about God is that he has a heart for the men and women of God to realize that they need each other. That it's not just solo warrior Christians, you know. It can be easy to think like that. You know, I'm just going to read and pray every day. It's just me and God. But you got to ask yourself why you do that. A lot of the time, the reason why people do that is because they've been hurt by church. But remember, you've been hurt by people. And maybe you were part of that problem because no one's ever not part of the problem. You're in it. Maybe more or less, but come on, we got to be real here. Are there exceptions? Of course, and we'll bear that in mind. And we've got to, and we do it in love. But the way for life is to bear with one another. The bear for life is, the way of life is not to hide away. That will never solve our issues. It will never get us to the place we want to. It will never get us to that place. See, we look like a team. And today, maybe there's some people you can look around, or maybe you get them up on your phone, or maybe you see them in the chat, but we actually need each other. And maybe for a minute you need to look at the names, or after this you need to look at some photos, or you need to remind yourself of why you need each other, because we need to learn to love each other. That's part of life. It's part of it growing up. Ever met someone who's just not a really nice person? It's probably because they've never, ever had the right kind of experience around them where they could learn and grow and be loved and receive love and give love. And we need this as people. We need that. We need each other. We represent Jesus together. Can't do this alone. There's nothing we can't do. You know, you say to yourself, there's nothing I can't do. Well, there's a whole lot of things you can't do. If you're on your own, there's loads of things you can't do. You need each other. We're here for each other. We care for each other. We love each other. We're prepared to die for each other. If you're on a solo mission, who do you die for? I mean, just as simple as that, because the Word of God says we've got to die for each other. I mean, husbands should die for their wives. We should lay down our lives every day. That's not just for the things of God. That's in pursuit of the things of God. So it's going to be for other people. It's like, I got a dream, but I'm going to die on that because I need to see you come alive in your faith. There's something that can only happen as we come together. And this is not just a good idea, and it's not just an option. This is the way God designed it. And why would we go against God's design? Only for lack of truth or knowledge, confusion, or just fear, hurt, pain. And I say this in 2023, why don't we ask the Lord to touch every single one of those areas and say, Lord, help me in every single one. I need your grace. I need your help. I wrote this down, and I wrote it for fun, but it's a serious point. See, superheroes just aren't real. I mean, we love the idea of superheroes. Marvel has incredible success. Google it. They've probably made billions upon billions, and it's all your money. But we love the idea of superheroes, but superheroes aren't real. Do you know what's real? Teams and families and people working together. The body of Christ. Even Jesus himself, he was part of a 3-in-1, and he loved the 12 disciples. The moment that Judas just goes a different way, he says, bring him a test. We need to get this thing back up 12. He just kept demonstrating over and over and over again. I don't want to do things alone. I'll do them alone if I have to, but I don't want to do things alone. In fact, I won't do anything significant alone. I'll do it with my Father. I'll do it with people. I'll raise people up. There's something that we need to learn better, which is we cannot do this thing alone. It's impossible. Jesus did not demonstrate that in his earthly ministry. He said, it's with people. It's with people. It's with people. Again, if we're going to be a blessing to people, we need people. You know, if we're going to save some people, we need some people to save through God's help. Jesus saves, of course. I know what you're thinking. You know, if we're going to do significant things for God, then we need some people to do them with. And there's a joy in that. Is there a hassle? Of course. Is there challenges? Of course. But you need them just as much as everybody else needs them. They need their buttons pursed and you need your buttons pursed so that we can work on these issues together. We are the church. Come on. If we're going to be the church of God, if we're going to be the men and women that the Bible describes, if we're going to be the people that God can work through, then we need to have work done in ourselves so that he can flow through our lives. And the second thing today, and we're already sort of overlapping on this, if we are the church, then there's just something about this idea of meeting together. We can't get around it. We can't get away from it. In fact, in Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews wrote it like this in chapter 10, verse 23. He says, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful, speaking of God. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You can't do any of this alone. And not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. There's just something about the men and women of God. We've got to get together. Parties, barbecues, church services. And again, I'm using the word loosely because I know what we mean by church, but we're trying to remind ourselves this is a gathering. This is a bunch of believers coming together. And it shouldn't just be one person doing it all. We should be engaged. Even if one's leading, we're part of it. Even if one or two are leading the worship or whatever it would be, or serving here, serving there, we are engaged because we understand we are in this thing together. And whether I'm in my seat giving and taking, or I'm on the stage giving and taking, I'm here with one mind, one heart. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Come on, this is the heart of it. And as we come together, and for most of us, we're coming together at least once a week on a Sunday, whether it be online like this, which is incredible. I'd love to be face-to-face because there's nothing better than that, but this is an incredible alternative. But it's usually once a week. And so when we come together, we want to make ourselves mindful of what is the point of coming together? What's the point of being with each other? Well, the point number one is we want to worship Jesus. Like, this is the heart of what we're here to do. We want to gather to celebrate, cry, learn, grow together. Come on. We want to gather because we're a team and we want to be together. I mean, you can't be a team if you don't see no people. It's hard to remind yourself you're part of a team if you never have team times, you know, squad times, team times, family times. Otherwise, it's just, well, it's good in theory, but it's never in practice. This is important as we get together. This is why meeting together is important. It reinforces these ideas. We gather for fresh plans, fresh hope to encourage one another, just like we read in Hebrews 10, 24. Like, how do we spur on someone if you don't see somebody? Now, you can text them, of course, and you should do that. Phone them. But when we get the chance to meet, let's meet. I mean, I remember years ago, some Christians from China coming over, and I said to them, hey, what do you think of our place? And they said, hey, we think it's great. And I was like, yeah, but what do you really think? And they're like, man, you got to understand, we haven't seen other Christians before. Like, the first time that we saw other Christians, we knew about them in theory, but we hadn't seen them before because this is about 20 years ago. The church has grown even more in China. It's still persecuted, but it's grown rapidly. But this is back early days, and they're going, we don't get to meet each other. Like, we just hear tell of each other. We get to meet maybe in twos and threes, but we've never got to meet with 40, 50 people. And you're like, wow. And sometimes we go 40, 50, we'd love 4,000 or 5,000. Isn't it incredible that we can forget what it's really all about? And it's about each other. And we are the church together, collectively, individually, together as a body, as a team, as a family on mission. This is who we are. There's something precious in every single heart. There's something precious in every person's eyes. We got to get to know them. It's a gift, an absolute gift. Somebody said it like this just a few weeks ago. We gather once every seven days. It doesn't seem like a big deal when you say it like that, but we gather a minimum of once every 7 days because there's just something about seven. On the sixth day, he finished, and then on the seventh day, he rested. I mean, God says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. There's just something about a recycle. The calendar weeks work in seven-day cycles. You know what I mean? Like life works in seven-day cycles. There's something about getting together and just being together. Do we have to hold this religiously? No, of course not. But why wouldn't we? If we could, why wouldn't we? And in fact, our heart's desire is to meet more often if we could, but we want to be together. Come on, this is the whole heart. We want to be together. Hebrews 13, we looked at Hebrews 10, but Hebrews 13 says this, we should bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Sometimes we bring an offering of praise and it's good and it's great. And then sometimes we bring a sacrifice of praise and it's hard and it's difficult. I don't know how you do that at home. You got to bring a sacrifice of praise. Again, you could do it at home with your family, but it's hard to engage the same ways. And if you have to do it for a season, do it for a season. And what a blessing this is. But we need to make sure that we're getting together with people. Bible studies, life groups, social items, outreach together, you know, mission trips, Sundays where we get together, we celebrate. I mean, all of this is what we're talking about. But this is to remind ourselves. See, we gather to refocus because sometimes we can forget our mission is to go. Sometimes we gather to be reminded, like, man, I needed that. How many times have you been in service before? How many times have you been together with other believers and you've just heard a great message on a Sunday? Because we're talking about Sundays right now, or maybe it's a Wednesday, and you go, man, I really needed that. And then someone was able to turn around and lay hands and pray for you. How good is that? See, we are the church. We are the church. This is where we're going over these next few weeks. And so every day we are the church. Let me give you a couple more stories and then we're going to finish out. Years ago, I used to play on the PlayStation Colin McRae Rally. I don't know if you remember this, but Colin McRae sadly passed away. But he was an incredible rally driver in his day, and he released these video games. So just imagine rally car driving. If you don't know what that is, it's basically high-speed driving through trees and valleys. It's intense. And if you remember what would happen in the game, and you would see it in the game, is that you would be the driver, but you needed a co-pilot. And the co-pilot would give you instructions. Because without those instructions, the speed at which you were going and the speed at which the trees were coming at you because of the speed at which you were driving, if you didn't have a co-pilot, guess what? You crashed that car and you can't finish the race. You needed a co-pilot. I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves when we come to church in the sense of we gather with people or we come to be with people and we come to be with each other, we shouldn't get in the mindset of one person does it all. We should remind ourselves this about co-pilots and leading together and driving together and going somewhere together. We're in a race because if it's just one person, we're likely to crash. If there's more eyes on the road, then we're likely to go. Like it would go like this. Hairpin number 3 up on the left, tight corner number 5 on the right. And if you heard 5, you knew it's like going to be hard. It's complete U-turn coming up 100 yards on the left. Then you knew what was coming. It was a tiny bit of warning what was coming along the track. The co-pilot wasn't watching the road. The co-pilot was watching the map. You see, when we are going at high speed and when we're going into enemy territory, we need some people on the map. We need some people in the Bible. We need some people heads up. We need some people in the air. We need some people in the ears. We need people moving. So when we go into enemy territory, what do we need? We need some people on the map. What does the word say? We need some people in full vision. Like what's happening around us? We need some people in the air interceding and praying for us. Because if we are going to successfully overcome the enemy, we need everybody. We are the church. We are the church. We can't default into this idea of we just go to church. Because if you just go to church, guess what you end up becoming? A passenger. And passengers die. Passengers fall out. Passengers fall asleep. You ever had a passenger where you're trying to get home at night? And you're just like, you're just trying to get home at night. And you're like, a lot of use they are because they've already fallen asleep. Guys, if you're asleep today, it's time to wake up. The race is too difficult. The enemy is too real. The adventure is too awesome. Don't be asleep. Wake up. Come on, wake up. And maybe you need to wake up and join a team this year. Maybe you need to wake up and start serving more. Maybe you need to wake up and get off Call of Duty or Call of McRae Rally if you're still playing it. And you need to engage into real life. Or maybe it's like this, prepared and ready. And I do ready with a question mark. I was watching the football this week. Let me just say it, my team's doing pretty well. We're doing pretty good. And we were in this game, and the substitute, and a substitute is someone who wants to get onto the game, and every now and again, the substitutes warm up because they want to get onto the game, and they want to tell the manager, I'm ready. And there's a substitute. And it's the only one, I think it's the only one, I've never heard of it ever before, so it's maybe the only one ever. But in this season, the same guy has been booked twice, he's been given a yellow card, and he's never even been on the pitch. Why? Because he's so enthusiastic on the sidelines that he's crossing the line, figuratively speaking, and the referee's going mad at him and he's getting a yellow card. I've never heard in any other season in all the time I've been watching the leagues that a substitute has been carded twice in one season. It's ridiculous. Why? Because he's enthusiastic. He realizes I may not be in the game, but I play my part. I may not be on the stage. I may not be on the field, but I play my part. I'm ready to go. In fact, he's crossed the line of maybe too ready. And then I remember watching another time, watching the game, and it was the guy who the manager wanted him to come, and he bounced up, and guess what? He forgot to put in his shin guards, which is basically to protect you against your shins, a protection pad. In other words, he just wasn't ready to go. I remember one guy, he hadn't got the socks on. The manager called him, he took off his tracksuit bottoms, and no socks on. You know what the people said? Not very professional. Now, we are not professional Christians. That's the last thing we want to get into. But I tell you what, if you understand that you are the church, if you understand that you are in battle, you are going to be ready when called. You may not be on the field of play just yet. You may not be front and center, but you're playing your part. And this is what I got to say, church. We're playing our part. I mean, go read the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are ready and 5 were not. The idea is you get yourself ready because your husband is coming. You get yourself ready because Jesus is coming back. You get yourself ready because we are in a race. We're in a war. We're on the battlefield. Don't come without your sword. Don't come without your belt of truth on. Don't come without your helmet of salvation. Get ready every single day. Why? Because you're in a battle. And you say to yourself, well, look, I got myself ready and then there was no jobs for me. Come on, it's not about that. Everywhere you go, there's an opportunity to share your faith. Everywhere you go, there's an opportunity to be this, be that. I mean, I've never seen anyone that's come to me and I get the blessing and the benefit of being a church leader by God's grace. It wasn't something I chose. I have not turned anybody away from service. I mean, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm really dying to serve. I'm really willing to give up every Sunday I've got. Or, you know, I want to come every single Tuesday night and clean the church. I'm wondering if I've even heard this, but I have because I've got incredible people in the church and an incredible body of believers, which is such a blessing. But I've never turned anybody away from wanting to serve. Come on. Never, ever. Because service is the way to greatness. Going forward is the way of the kingdom because we are going and we're serving and we're after the things of God. Come on. Am I going to be ready and prepared, or am I going to be stuck on the sidelines when my call comes? I'm not even ready. See, here's the dream. Acts chapter 2, 44. And all the believers met together in one place, shared everything that they had. They sold their property, their possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. Isn't that the dream? Isn't that the dream? But come on, just before we finish, let's get real for a second. Here's the reality. We need to stop blaming some big organization. We need to stop blaming some person even. We need to stop blaming and we need to start going, God, I need your help. If I'm in a place of not service, God, I need your help. Resurrect my heart. If I'm in a place of hurt and pain, God, I need your help. I've been broken and crushed, but I know, God, you can help me come back. If we are not in relationship with other believers and with other people, then I need you to get back into relationship because that's what we've been made for. They're missing out and you're missing out. Trust me on this. I delight in getting to know people. Am I perfect? No. And I've understood that they're not perfect also. So we got to give grace for each other. Let's stop being deceived and confused. There is no perfect place out there. And I've never found a church that doesn't have hypocrites. You ever find that? Church is full of hypocrites. Church is full of liars. Church is full of people that commit sins. Church is full of bad eggs. Isn't that normal? Why wouldn't it be? It should be full of those, because it's full of people like me and you that have their faults and feelings, but I've found a place that will help me. I've found a place that will love me. And I've found a place that will not just rub my back or tell me, just stay like that. I've found a place that will challenge me and create an environment for me to grow. Come on. This is the church. We are the people of God, but we have imperfections. Could we just all agree this? Maybe this is our New Year's resolution to all agree this. I've got issues. You've got issues. But we've got God's grace. Amen. Come on. We have God's grace, and He's calling me to higher places. See, sometimes when we say to ourselves, come on, remember, we are the church. Pardon me, people go the opposite direction. They say to ourselves, sweet, gets me out of everything. I'm just the church. No. If we are the church, then our mandate's just got greater. I mean, we've got to see captives set free. We've got to see blind eyes open. We've got to see the lame walk. We've got to see people transformed and saved. This is who we are. Each and every one of us have a responsibility to be the church. Literally, Jesus Himself. This is what He has called us to. Jesus is our solution in every way. So let's be the church. High personal change, transformation, sanctification, commitment, habits, time with Jesus. It all sounds so easy. Incredibly difficult, and we got to be real with ourselves. It will be. This will be hard, but we can do it, but we'll only be able to do it together. I love this word from Proverbs. King Solomon wrote it one time. He says this, better are words from a friend than kisses from an enemy. If you want to be kissed all day long, go find yourself some enemies or some friends that really aren't telling you the truth. But if you want the right sort of people in your life, you're going to find friends that are going to say, mate, girl, friend, change needs to happen. And then you're going to go, thank you so much. I couldn't see it, but I trust you. And vice versa, be ready for someone to back, because I haven't found a perfect version of me yet. Ask Nikki. I need confronted. I need held to account. I need people that will love me and love me all the way through. We do, because why? We are the church. I want to be a healthy church. I want to be a person that it's nice to be around. I want you to be a person that it's nice to be around, and you'll tell me about the right things, and you'll share your faith, and you won't be riddled with guilt and shame and insecurity, but you'll be healthy in the middle of your mess. Verse 42 is how we get there of Acts chapter 2. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. It's going to take devotion to Jesus at the highest level. It's going to take devotion to the Word, to His teaching. It's going to take devotion to each other, devoted to each other. You can't go long distance without each other. It's going to take devotion to the Lord's Supper, feasting on the things of God, and the prayer. These are the keys for this year. Each other, Bible, prayer, worship. This is what we're devoted to. We're devoted to the things of God because we must become the people and the men and women of God. We are the church. Here's how we're going to begin 2023. Like we begin every year, but don't make it a familiarity thing. And I don't think you can, because it will crush your spirit. We're going to fast in 2023. See, fasting is God's idea. You'll read about it all the way through the Bible from start to finish. Jesus was led into the wilderness and He fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Don't worry, we're not going after that. We're going after 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, here is my heart. Don't make it an optional thing. Why would you? Now, of course, you decide. But don't give yourself the easy road. We need this because God said so. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 6, there's three things I need you to do. He said, I need you to give, I need you to pray, and I need you to fast. There's something about fasting that humbles us. There's something about fasting that makes us confront our humanity and confront just who we are and our reliance on all this other stuff. And remember, when you start to fast, you start to get hungry, which is a reminder of, I need so much from this world. But in fact, what I need is, I need Him first. I need Him first. And so for a short season, we're going to literally deprive ourselves of the things that we really, really do want for something far better. We're going to cut out things. We're going to Daniel fast. If you're ready for a liquid fast, go for it. But I would say this, if you've not done Daniel fast for years, then you're not ready for a liquid fast. But go for a Daniel fast. No meats, no sweets. Just going after the things of God for 21 days. You got to get used to a very plain diet. It's not about cooking extravagant meals. It's a plain diet. Basic foods, not that many of them, because there isn't. Let's be real. If you're going to go no meats, no sweets, then there isn't. If you want more info, please get in touch with us. We'll have it online. But for 21 days, why don't we go after the things of God? And you're going to discover that at times where you used to be hungry, the things of God are going to satisfy you. I'm going to tell you that your hunger pains are going to be saturated up by the love and the grace of God if you're going after the things of God. If it's just all about, I just got to get through this, and it's just religion, and it's just like, then it's going to be ugly, it's going to be horrible, you're going to have a horrible time. Just guaranteed. But if your heart is for the things of God, there may be times where it's difficult, there may be times where it's really hard, but you will know God's faithfulness and fruitfulness and goodness through that. Sometimes we see immediate benefits, sometimes we see long benefits, sometimes we don't even recognize the benefits, but I'm telling you this, it's the way of the kingdom, and it's a way to bring the kingdom into force. And I think for all of us, if we're to truly be the church of God, we need this as we start off 2023, because I need the Lord to go less of me, more of him. And that's our Bible study. So for 21 days, we're going to do a Bible study, less of me, more of him. Now, again, it's going to take more than 10 or 15 minutes. You can make it 10 or 15 minutes, but to truly go after this thing, it's going to take more. I want to say to you, what are you willing to sacrifice over these next 21 days? A gym session? Some Netflix? Because I know you've got more than 10 or 15 minutes. Now, it's not for a very long period. It's just for 21 days. Longer than you think, harder than you think. You'll need God's help to do this. But I want to encourage you. We're going to start on Tuesday, the 10th of January. If you're a day or two late, doesn't matter. Just stay a day or two after us. But please, put this on your heart. Don't make it optional. Say, God, is there any reason why I shouldn't do this? If he doesn't give you an answer, then you're doing it. Amen? And then you consider, right, how do I go after this Daniel fast? You'll see info on our website. Send us a message if you need info. If you're not on our emails, get on our emails. We're going to program you in. And then also join our 21-day Bible plan, where every day we're going to keep you updated. We're going to keep you encouraged. And there's something about when you are of the right heart and you're with the right people, whether online or offline, they will keep you accountable. They will spur you on. They will pray for you. And we'll be praying for each other. And you're going to find a supernatural energy comes over you at times to be able to go forward. But know this. These 21 days, you're literally dying to self in every way that you can imagine. But in this, you're going to discover something about the faithfulness, the fruitfulness, and the life of Jesus that has the potential to transform your life forever. And why are we doing this? Because we want to do it for God. We want to do it for obedience. We want to be the church that he has planned. We want to be the church that he has destined us to be. No spot, no wrinkle. Working on imperfections and allowing the Lord to really, really transform us from the inside out. And so we're going to pray, but I want to speak this life over you. Fasting is intentionally abstaining from foods. And again, you can hold back from social media, but it's not technically a fast. Fast all the way through the Bible was always food. If it's social media, well, then you're abstaining from something. That's fantastic. But fasting is really food. I want to challenge you, go after this like never before. Pace yourself right. Go after it with the things of God, right? Set aside the right sort of time. Pray about it. Cover it in prayer. And allow the body of Christ to be part of this thing. And I tell you what, you're going to discover something far better than you could ever imagine. Come on, we're going to pray today. I want to encourage us if we're going into this thing. If you're not a Christian, you're probably going, this whole thing sounds crazy, but maybe something just sparked in your heart. I want to tell you the Bible's very clear, Romans 10. If you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. In other words, Jesus, I give you my life. Then he will give you his life. He'll take away your sins and you'll have a brand new start in him. So we're going to pray for that and then we're going to pray for each other. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, for your faithfulness in every single area. And I pray, Lord, for anyone that needs you today, that they would say yes to you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray right now we're saying yes to you if we need it, far from you or never known you. And instantly something begins to happen because the power of God, the presence of Jesus, comes all over us. Lord, I thank you for new life in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for those that have known you and walking with you. Lord, I pray, come on, we are in a season that we are the church. We're going to remind ourselves, call ourselves, and move forward more into the things of God than ever before. Lord, I pray for your hand upon us. I pray, Holy Spirit, you are among us and you are through us. And I pray for our fast in 2023. Lord, something is going to happen greater than ever before. I pray less of me, more of you. Jesus, come and have your way in everything that we do. And Holy Spirit, enable us and help us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.